So I just want to share something quite brief with you today. I know when Paul left Ephesus and he said that he wouldn't be back, he had so much to say to them, he spent the whole night speaking. And one young man got so tired and fell asleep sitting in a window that he fell out the window. So we'll not be having any of that today. Going to keep it quite brief. I just want to say some key things. But first, I want to read a scripture this morning which is unrelated to what I wanted to say, had planned, just because I feel this is somebody needs to hear this morning. Maybe more than one person really needs to hear these words this morning. It's the words of Psalm 18. And particularly if just stuff's maybe going on with you at the moment, you just need to know the reassurance that God is who he says he is for you. Just let these words speak into your spirit this morning. Psalm 18 from verse 16, it says this. He sent from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me forth also into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And if you need to hear that this morning, know that God looks down from on high. He doesn't look down and distance himself from you. He looks down and he comes down and he takes hold of you. And sometimes there's things in life, sometimes there's forces that seem against us in life that are too strong for us, but never too strong for him. And he comes and he lifts you, takes hold of you out of those many waters and delivers you into a spacious place, a place where your life can flourish. And aren't these words lovely that David says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. And maybe you really, really need, we all need to hear this, but maybe you really, really need to hear this today, that God delights in you. And whatever you're going through, he is the one who comes to take hold and to deliver you and to rescue you. So I want to just read a couple of verses from a very well-known parable, the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. I had done a good little PowerPoint for this morning, but I think I had, I don't know, I'm 58 now. I'm allowed senior moments. You get those at my age. I think I had some sort of moment during the week, and what I normally do, transferring it onto my little stick to bring for Diane to put up, didn't seem to happen. So I thought it'd happen, but it didn't happen. So there won't be any points going up on the screen. You'll just have to listen this morning. But let's just read just a couple of verses. And many of you will be very familiar with the parable of the sower. If you're not, it's a story Jesus told, very much based in his culture of agriculture, where the farmers were at a very familiar sight, a farmer going out to sow his seed. And Jesus said that this seed is the word of God. God speaks a word into our life. It's a seed that is planted into us with purpose to do something, to bring forth a fruit in our life, to bring forth a harvest in our life. But as the seed was sown, as it was kind of scattered, as the farmer went out and kind of threw this seed, some of it landed on paths and was eaten up by the birds. And sometimes the word of God, God is saying something into your life, but you just don't get it. It's immediately lost. It comes to absolutely nothing. Other seed, he said, fell into rocky ground where it grew very quickly at first, but it had no roots, and so it didn't last any length of time. And sadly, over the years, I've seen that happen in too many lives where people have initially received something from God and spurted up very quickly, full of enthusiasm, but there's no real root, there's no depth being created. And as soon as something comes against them, as soon as something goes wrong, they fall away. Other seed grew for a while, but it was among thorns and weeds. And as it grew up, it got choked by those and didn't come into its true purpose and potential. And Jesus said, that's like those who grow for a while, but just the cares of this world, the things that bring worry and so on, just what's going on around them, just chokes out what the word of God would do. And again, we see that happen very clearly in people's lives, where they're going on well in the things of God, where the word is growing in them, but just the stuff of life that goes on begins to dominate, begins to take over, and they lose focus, and they lose what God is seeking to do in their life. But the final seed, the good seed, lands on good soil. All the seed's the same. All the seed is good. The word of God is consistent, but there's some that lands on good soil. And it says this in Matthew 13, verse 8. And other seed fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus used that phrase a few times. He who has ears, if you get 2 ears today, then listen well. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is saying something important. And he's saying that seed of God, the design of it for your life, for you as a church here in White Inch, is that it grows, that you carry that seed. You don't have to work at producing something. The seed will produce if it's in the right soil. The seed will produce if it's in the right soil. And the purpose of God's seed, his word in you, is that you will be a person of increase. You will be a person of influence. You will be a person who makes known the kingdom of God and the truth of Christ to 30, 60, and 100-fold. And you just think, if each one of us even lived at the lowest level of that, the 30-fold, if we had a 30-fold impact on other people's lives, that 30 other people came to follow Jesus through our influence and our example and our words and our testimony, what an impact we would make. And there are some of you, maybe, you know, you've only thought, I'll ever only be a 1 or 2-fold person. God didn't put that in there. It's 30. That's the minimum. That's what he's going after. But he's going after more than that. 60 and 100-fold. And what is the key for it? Well, the key, as Jesus explains the parable, verse 23, he says this when he's interpreting the parable for his disciples. He says, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word. The others heard it too. But this is the man who hears the word and understands it. And indeed bears fruit and brings forth 100-fold, 60, and 30. The key is that we not only hear God's word, but we understand. We receive the seed. We receive it by faith. We hear God's word. We believe it. We receive it by faith. But it's important that faith is also coupled with understanding of the word so that it bears the fullness of its fruit. And what I just want to leave you today with is I want to just say 5 quick things. I want to leave you as a church here in White Inch, and for those of you who are visiting here, I pray that this may make some usefulness to your life, may be something to you. But for those here in White Inch Church, as you move on, as you move ahead, as you go into a new season, as there's going to be quite a significant transition with Alan and Diane moving on, but as you go into this new season, I'm filled with hope for you. I mean, last week was just great, wasn't it? Those of you here last week, 6 baptisms out there in the rain in the pool. Wasn't it wonderful? Wasn't it just a wonderful 9 people joining the church? So, you know, you're growing and things are going well. And let's build on that sort of momentum. But you go through some different things over the next little period of time. But I'm filled with hope for you. And I pray that you would take hold of what is truly important, that you would take hold of the focus and the priorities that God has for you, and you would move into the greater fullness of his purposes for this church. So here's just 5 key things that I want to leave you with. Number 1, God is good and his love endures forever. And that's kind of been said already as Alan and the family were doing the dedication. God is good and his love endures forever. That was kind of like the theme song of the people of Israel in the Old Testament. If you read the Psalms, you just come across that phrase again and again. It was the theme of the people of Israel. This is who God is. God is good and his love endures forever. And I've sought to base my life on that truth for many, many years now. And like a good number of you, I'm sure, in this hall today, Helen and I have known, we've known tragedy in our families. We've known early deaths in our families. We've known pain and sorrow that we've carried at times quite significantly through our lives, significant inner pain through circumstances. And yet, that does not change who God is. When I go through difficult circumstances, God does not change. He's still good. The nature of God is not affected by my mood, my feelings, or the circumstances I go through. And so no matter what we go through, we can still experience the goodness of God that carries us, that delivers us, that rescues us out of many waters. and his love endures forever. God's love is the most enduring force in the whole universe. You see, the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death, neither life nor death, neither angels or demons, height nor depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And if you've put your faith in Jesus, then the love of God, he's given to you in a covenant promise. His covenant with you is that he will love you with an eternal love. And that will carry through every situation of life. It will carry us through the grave into eternal life with him. And the song of Israel was this: give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his love endures forever. And I want to encourage you just to keep that at the forefront of your minds. And in all situations, no matter what happens, we can give thanks to God because he still is good. He's always good. Always has been, always will be. And his love, his steadfast love towards us, will endure through everything. It is the most durable force there could be. Number two, be impressed with Jesus. If you've been around me for a time, you'll know I like that phrase. I like that phrase because the Holy Spirit spoke that phrase to me very clearly many years ago. And he said this to me. He said, be impressed with Jesus, and he will make his impression on you. What you're impressed with makes its mark in your life. What you're impressed with impresses upon you, and you begin to look like that in some way. It forms something over you. If you're impressed by the things of this world, they will take a hold of your life, and they will make a mark, an impression upon you. They will form something in you. And we kind of get to choose. You see, you get to choose who you worship, what you're going to worship. You get to choose who you're going to be impressed with. If you stop and think about it, so many people are kind of gullible and they just get drawn along, be impressed by this, that, the next thing. But if we stop and think, we choose who we're going to let influence us. We choose who we're going to let ourselves be impressed by. And I've chosen in my life to be and continue to be impressed by Jesus, because I think he's the most impressive person that's ever existed. I'm impressed by his life, by his words, by his attitude. I'm impressed that he died for me, that he took my sin, my wrongdoing on the cross. He died for me. I'm impressed that he rose from the dead, that death could not hold him. I'm impressed with him who is seated on the throne in heaven, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as a church, it's all about following Jesus. It's all about him. Sometimes we talk about Christianity, we talk about church, and we talk about things. Let's talk about the man, Christ Jesus. He's your Savior. You're not saved by Christianity. You're not saved by the church. You're saved through Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that died on the cross. It's Jesus that was risen from the dead. It's Jesus we want to talk about. Be impressed with Jesus. And let him make his impression on your life. Number three, let me encourage you to stir up the gift that God has put within you, the gift of his Spirit. Stir up the gift and arouse your faith. Stir up your gift and arouse your faith. And do that for one another. Stir up that gift in one another. Stir one another up. One of the greatest enemies of us in these days is that we would be a people of passivity. A people of passivity, a people who allow things to be done for us and allow things to happen, who kind of wait and say, oh, well, whatever will be, will be. And we need to rise up as God's people today. We've been given this incredible gift of his Holy Spirit who lives within us. We need to stir that gift up. We need to arouse our faith. You see, your faith will kind of just go like, we've got to speak to it. We've got to stir it up. And we need each other for that. So in all that you do for one another and all the encouragements and the, you know, all the things that we do together for one another, do this, stir up the gift and stir up the faith to believe God for even greater things. Number four, know what you have been given access to. Increasingly know what you have been given access to. One of my favorite prayers is Ephesians 1:17. Where it says that we would be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation unto the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our hearts would be opened, that we would know the hope to which he's called us. There's always hope, isn't there, Ian? There's always hope. that we would know the hope to which he's called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance for the saints. I'm still trying to figure out what that phrase just means, never mind actually discovering that inheritance. It's just so rich. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. His incomparably great power. Know what you've been given access to, the power of God's Spirit. And know that without a demonstration of the Spirit, the good news will not advance as it could. I pray that you will continue to be a church that prioritizes making the good news of Jesus known to people. Because everybody needs to hear that good news. But, you know, often we're up against a wall. Often we're up against just blindness. Often we're up against so many things. And we need everything that God has made available to us. We need his word. We need the gifts of his Spirit. We need the power of his Spirit. We need it all. And without the power of God's Spirit, without that demonstration of his power in signs and wonders and healings, we will not make the good news known as we could. Know what you have access to and avail yourself of it. And finally, move in the measure you have now while always anticipating more. Move in the measure of faith and of everything that God has given you, the measure of what you've already experienced. Move in that. Move in what he's given you, but always anticipate more. There's always more to come. Don't sit around just waiting in the more. Use what you've already got. But don't just think, well, this is it. Because God always have more. He is immeasurable. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's still so much more Holy Spirit to come and fill us. We cannot measure him. And Jesus gives to us the gift of his Spirit without measure. But use the measure you've got now, but anticipate the more to come. Grow in the things that you've got now as a church, but anticipate far, far more than we've ever yet seen or maybe even imagined. Let me just pray for you. Father, I bless your people here and each one gathered in this place today. I pray, Father, that you would give that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would sow the seeds of your word, of your truth, and your grace into each one of our lives, that you would give us understanding of your word to us, that it would grow within us, that it would not be stunted, it would not stop short, but we would grow up into the fullness of all that you have for us. So, Father, today, would you stir up the gift in us? Today, would you cause faith to rise? Today, would you cause us to be so impressed with Jesus Christ, with who he is? Today, we would say, Father, you are good and your love endures forever. Today, we would take hold of what you took hold of us for. And we would anticipate the greater things that are yet to come. May the Lord bless you and fill you with his Spirit. May he cause your faith to rise beyond what you would imagine. May he do in you greater things than you've ever thought or imagined. May he bless you so abundantly and lead you into the fullness of all that he has for you. May you grow into the potential and the full purposes of God for you as his body of believers here in White Inch and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cool, let's